Our story begins in the open plains of the Midwest. Throughout these open plains, there are many, many cattle ranches. And on many ranches are many, of course, ranchers. There is, however, one ranch that stands out far above the others, and it does so because of the rancher that runs it. Some call him Rancher John, some refer to him as Big John, and some refer to him as just plain old John. If the truth be told, though, no one really knows his name, and no one really knows where he came from. Ask anybody around, and they'll tell you the same thing. They just don't ever remember him coming. He just simply came. Ask the old and the young alike, and they'll both answer something like, "Old John, well, he's been here as long as I can remember. It's just like he's always been there." Who John was and where he came from was truly a mystery. A mystery maybe, but not the only, or even the most intriguing mystery about him. What seemed to have people shaking their heads the most was not who he was or where he came from. No, the most intriguing thing about him was how he raised his cattle. You see, John took a special interest in his cattle. From the time they were born to the time they were at their end, John treated each head of cattle as though it were the only one he had. And that is where our story truly begins, out west on the open plains in a barn on the ranch of Big John. The doors to the barn were opened, and as Big John entered, the cattle all began to move, as if with joy, and they stood straight up and held their heads high, as if though they were giving him praise. John smiled and patted the young calves on the head as they seemed to encircle and move around him. He finally arrived near the back of the barn, at an area reserved for cattle that were not yet fully mature. In this area were five cows who seemed to watch his every move. He walked over to a cow named Eva and said, "Eva, your time has come." Now might be a good time to mention that Big John's cattle seemed to be able to understand him when he talked, and he seemed to be able to understand them as well. He put his arm around her, and he said, "Come with me. I have something very special prepared for you." Eva was nervous, and while not knowing what to expect, she still eagerly followed him. Big John led Eva far away from the pasture she was used to, and farther than her eyes had ever seen. Then he stopped at what appeared to be the beginning of a fresh-cut path. He looked at Eva and told her, "Eva, right over that hill, at the end of the path, there is a place I have prepared personally just for you. It is where you will spend the rest of your days." He told her that he knew her, thus he knew what it was she needed the most, and there she would find that these needs would be met, and met abundantly. He told her that the fields were planted just for her, that no other cattle had ever been allowed to graze there. It was hers, and hers alone. Eva looked at the trail, and the hill was not too far, and it wouldn't take too long to get over it, but she did notice something. There seemed to be four other gates standing in front of trails of their own. "Big John, what are these other gates, and where do they lead?" she asked. John replied, "Eva, just as I have personally prepared a place for you, so too have I prepared a place for your four friends that were with you earlier. I will go and shortly return with each to do with them as I am doing with you now." Being young and curious, she inquired as to whether theirs was any different than hers. For the first time in her life, John seemed to grow stern. "Eva, what I have prepared for them is no concern of yours. Just know that what I have prepared for you is exactly what you need. Take heed not to venture through another's gates, and remember only to enter through yours. Do this, and you will have no regrets. I promise. Now, go." Eva smiled and started down the path, and she turned back to look, but Big John had already vanished out of sight. She took a deep breath, and with her head held high, she walked on towards her destination. Within a few minutes, she was at the first gate. She tried to make herself keep walking, but she just couldn't. She stopped and stared at the bright, shiny green gate. She tried to peek around it and peek down beyond the path, but it was no use, for the trees that lined the path blocked her from seeing more than just a few yards. She shrugged and said to herself, "Oh well, I guess I'll just have to trust John and move on ahead." But before she could turn away, a large crow landed on the shiny green gate and proceeded to ask her, "Where are you heading?" Eva responded by telling him of her grand destination, and the crow laughed. "You must not know what's down this path, for if you did, you surely would not go any further. Eva gave a quick reply, "Oh, but I have my own, and it is just as good." "Maybe," said the crow, "but if you don't at least look, you'll never know." With that, the crow flew off, shouting back repeatedly, "You'll never know! You'll never know! You will never know!" Eva looked at the gate for a moment, then turned and walked away. As she walked away, she could not get what the crow was saying out of her mind, though. She turned and looked behind her at the shiny gate. It was now about 100 feet behind her. "Oh, I just have to know what's in there," she said to herself, and began to run back to the gate. Once back in front of the gate, Eva teetered back and forth for a few moments. "Oh, why did Big John have to go and hide the treasure in this pasture behind this covering of trees? If it is as beautiful as this crow has described, why not let everyone enjoy it? Why hide it behind a covering?" Reluctantly, yet still enthusiastically, Eva nudged open the gate with her head and entered that which was prepared for someone else. Slowly, she walked through the gate, down the path and around the tree line. Then, as she turned a corner, she stopped and just gazed at the beauty that lay before her. As far as she could see was the greenest grass which she had ever laid eyes on. The amazing thing, though, was that there was not one weed in the entire place. In the middle of the pasture was a small barn. But hey, with grass like that, who's going to need a large barn? Eva thought to herself that if this was hers, she would never even enter the barn, but would spend all of her days simply eating. If only this was hers. Eva knew that this had been prepared for someone else, but she couldn't resist. She just had to try this grass. After all, it would have time to grow back before its recipients. And besides, they would have their entire life to enjoy it. As she ate, she noticed that the grass immediately replenished itself. The only thing was that every time it grew back, it was less and less green. Before she knew it, she had eaten several acres. "Oh me, I did not even realize how long I'd been here. I better go," she thought. With that, she took one last bite and headed out the gate for her own destination. As she left the gate, she did not even look back, for if she had, she would have seen that where she had eaten was now dull green and greatly detracted from what had been prepared for its intended recipient. As she walked on, she could not help but think of the grass she had been eating. Oh, if only her place has this kind of grass. She could not wait to see what her grass looked like and to eat of the grass of her very own. But her thoughts were quickly interrupted by the presence of a shiny blue gate. "Oh, I wonder what's down there," she thought to herself. She knew she shouldn't, but she went through the gate. She thought that since no harm was done the first time, no harm would be done this time earlier, or either. Again, there was a tree line acting as a covering to hide this destination from prying eyes, and once again, she disregarded this and went around. She had been amazed by the green grass earlier, but this pasture was even more beautiful than the last. All around her were flowing streams that all seemed to run into the center of the pasture, into what seemed to be a fruit orchard. Eva began to have an overbearing thirst and thought that all the grass she had eaten earlier must have made her thirsty. She decided that before she left, she would just have a little drink. So down she walked into the center of that beautiful orchard. She took one drink. Delicious, she thought. This was the coldest and most refreshing water she had ever tasted. The more she drank, though, the more she realized it was tasting normal. She thought that maybe she had just gotten used to it, and she kept drinking. Finally, when the water seemed to grow warm and lose its refreshing ability, she decided that she would go on her way. And out the gate she went, closing it with her tail as she left. Still walking a little further, she came to yet another gate. This one was bright red. At the previous two gates, she had been reluctant to enter, but this time she felt very comfortable and walked right in. On the other side of the tree line was the largest, most beautiful barn she had ever seen, and it was then that she realized that all of the green grass, the refreshing water, and all that walking had absolutely made her exhausted. She decided that she would just stroll down and have a nice rest in the barn. After all, It had not been given to anyone yet. Therefore, to her, it was free game. Walking in, she noticed that it was the most pleasant barn ever. Instead of a lingering odor, there was a pleasant aroma. The floors and the walls seemed to shine, and there was not one insect in sight. This definitely would be a delightful place to live. She found a nice stall, entered it, and quickly fell asleep. Upon awakening, she noticed that flies were buzzing around and biting her, and that the pleasant aroma had been replaced with the stench of a cattle barn. She thought to herself, I must have slept a long time. I better get going. This time, however, she began to exit the gate, and she ran into the barn's rightful owner. Rather than apologize, she walked past her, and with a smile exclaimed, Oh, you're just going to love it. Your house, it is amazing. I truly hope, though, I didn't leave too big of a mess in there for you. As Eva walked on, the other cow stood there with tears building up in her eyes, staring at the open gate. What had been distinctly prepared for her had now been used and discarded by another cow. Sadly, she entered her into her home, and soon she had it cleaned up, but it was never the same. It always lingered in her mind that someone else had slept there first. Eva was now nearly to the top of the hill and could not wait to see what had been prepared for her. She just knew Big John had prepared some of that green grass and made sure that she would have some of that refreshing water, and she already had experienced the wonderful barn that he provided. Oh, she couldn't wait to see her very own. As she topped the hill, though, she was taken back. Her gate was wide open. Who on earth would have trespassed on my pasture? This was hers, and no one else had a right to be there. She began to run until she finally reached her gate. It was a nice shiny gate, a shiny silver gate. At least most of it was shiny, but there were some dirty spots and smudges on it where something or someone had rubbed up against it. She ran in and quickly realized that there was nothing special here. The grass, it was abundant, but it was no different than what she had grazed on all of her life. The barn, it was normal, and it smelt like any other barn that had housed cattle. There was one small creek, and it ran into a small pond in the middle of her pasture. But it was very simple. What really bothered her, though, was the fact that when she got close to the pond, she could see hoof prints in the mud all around the pond. Not one, but several different prints from several different cows. She sat and cried. How could someone do this? This was mine. It was given to me, and someone else has taken its pristine beauty with them. She slowly made her way to her barn. All the stalls had been used, but there was one that was not too dirty, so she lay down and finally went to sleep. She stayed there, but every day she longed to be back eating the green grass in the other pastures. And when she was not longing for the grass, she longed for the cool, refreshing water. At night, she lay in her stall dreaming about being in that big, wonderful barn that she had been in and she had left behind those many years ago. Oh, she had it all. Good pasture land, decent water, and a warm and dry barn. But that mattered not, though, for her mind constantly drifted back to those other pastures, and she would never be totally complete because she had unknowingly left a little part of her heart in every pasture that she had visited. Over time, she, along with the other two cows, grew so bitter and discontent with their surroundings that they busted out and went in search of what they had experienced earlier in life. Sadly, they never found it, but instead continuing to leave parts of their hearts everywhere they went. The only cow that stayed in the original pasture that they were given was Mary, the very cow that watched Eva exit her gate so many years ago. Mary, I might add, was also one of the only cows that never ventured onto another's land. Yes, she had to deal with the fact that someone else had trespassed into her barn, but she was content. She was thankful for what she was able to give. Able to give her entire heart to her pasture. She neither needed nor longed for anything more than what Big John had given her. And whenever Big John came to visit, she always thanked him for meeting her every need. and she never complained about her land and what it was lacking. Thus, Mary lived happily ever after.